Welcome,
baby, to the Monday night conference call. Please state your name and location.
This is Marilyn in Pennsylvania.
Hey, Marilyn.
Hi, Mary.
Hey, little kitty cat person.
Is your kitty cat person? It's Marilyn and Pia. She's sitting here right on my lap.
Nice. Welcome, BTS, and welcome, everybody. And we are in good company, and we have fun, and it's nice.
How are you? What's your cat's name, Marilyn?
Pardon me?
What's your cat's name?
Pia.
Marilyn.
Pia.
Pia.
Okay.
P-I-A. My cat is here, too. Her name is Molly.
Oh!
She says hello.
Oops. Welcome to the Monday night conference call. Please state your name and location.
This is Dharmananda in Boulder Creek. Who's this?
This is Ron. Ice is not here right now.
Oh. Okay.
We are a group already, and we are on BBS already, so welcome to conference, Monday conference.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah. So anyway, so you put that bolt, it's about a 5-inch bolt with nuts and metal washer, and then I got two bricks. I put the bigger part, you know, the part between on the brick.
Welcome to the Monday night conference call. Please state your name and location.
If you want to. My name and location. Anyway, so you put the pot on those two bricks, and the space in between, you can put a plate with four little candles.
Welcome to the Monday night conference call. Please state your name and location.
Only if you want to.
Nobody wants to.
Anyway, so, and it's warm up to 160 degrees, so you can warm up a room, a little room, you know, so if you don't have power or anything, keep you warm.
Oh, that's a good idea.
My heater stopped working tonight.
Oh, no.
Wow. Oh, well, you'll have to Google this or, no, YouTube it.
No, YouTube.
Yeah, YouTube. Clay pot heater. And
there's different ways. Sometimes you can have only two. You need two. You can use only two clay pot if you want to. There's different ways to do it. So.
Welcome to the Monday night conference call. Please state your name and location.
Hi, this is Don in Northern Ohio. Hi, everybody.
Hey, Don.
Hi, Don.
Are you keeping warm?
Not indoors.
Lucy down in Florida is telling us how to keep warm.
Yeah,
no.
Where's Northern Ohio?
Quebec,
what city?
It's Brecksville, between Cleveland and Akron.
Oh, okay.
Up north.
Brecksville? I'm in Pittsburgh. It's not that far.
I've been in Pittsburgh. I like Pittsburgh.
City. Welcome to the Monday night conference call. Please state your name and location.
Hi, it's Robin from Irvine.
Robin from where?
From Irvine. I did the audio for the show.
Oh. Well,
okay. Welcome. Welcome.
Is Wynn there yet?
Wynn
not yet.
Coming soon. Should be on soon.
Fireball.
Welcome to the Monday night conference call. Please state your name and location.
Nancy in Michigan.
Somebody from Michigan. Nice to have you.
All I heard was Michigan.
Somebody from Sedona.
Sounds like
Wynn. Hi, Lucy.
Welcome to the Monday night conference call.
Are you guys listening, Hives? No.
Yeah.
No, we're okay. We keep warm.
You're keeping warm. You're keeping each other warm.
Yes.
Hey, is anyone new on the line for the first time tonight? I'll bet not.
Do what?
Anyone new for the first time?
Not that I know so far.
Uh-huh.
Somebody just came in.
We are on BBS, too.
We're on BBS.
Yeah,
hi, everybody on BBS. Is that Roxanne, a.k.a. Ariel?
It's Ariel, a.k.a. Roxanne. Ariella Winwell.
Who it is?
The one that's pushing left and right. Yeah, there you go.
Hi, Will.
Chris Memphis.
Hi, Chris.
Yeah. Hey, Will.
Ariel is one of the more craziest people that comes onto our line.
She's a nice lady. I like
hey,
her.
Hey, Winfrey.
Yeah?
Why do I got this big heart on this big mountain if God doesn't love me? I just heard the Dolphins, girls and boys. We're going to push it all the way to South America. From Canada to South America. That's what Michael the Archangel said. Well, anyway, Great Spirit's doing it.
And Ariel is kind of like got this Native American spirit, okay? And I don't know if she was this person in her past life, but she thinks she is. And, you know, she kind of has the personality. It could be that. I have to go look and see if she looks like that person. Did you guys know about the Lewis and Clark expedition? You ever hear that?
Yeah, we have.
Sacagawea is White Buffalo Castleman.
Remember the woman that was guiding them, the Native American, right?
Yes. She married one of them, right?
Did she? I don't know.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. So Ariel thinks she was Sacagawea. I can't say it.
Sacagawea. I did the reenactment of Lewis and Clark back in 2003, and I've walked that whole walk, her whole trail.
Right.
She who watched. It's called Shilagi.
But she could have been that. She's got this crazy, adventurous spirit that, you know, you have to look, could have somebody been something, and she could have.
Well, I delivered the white buffalo to the Lakota people, to the Ogallala, and they know when I delivered that white buffalo with the turtle and the flicker feather that they said, we're going to protect her with God's white light, and they have. And now I'm here with the box that it came in corn. I've delivered corn.
Now we're going to start our show. Okay.
Okay. I love you, Winfrey.
I don't know if that's good or bad. Tell everybody you love them.
I love everybody, Elohim.
Okay.
We love you too.
Other people who have joined the call recently to announce themselves.
This is Cindy in Peoria, Arizona. Hi, everyone.
Hi, Cindy.
Hi, Wayne. How are you?
How come you're so quiet today?
Am I quiet?
Your volume is not loud.
Oh, well, I'm driving home from work, so maybe just out of my car and trying to get there.
That's okay. All right. And but it's nice to hear you, even if you're quiet. Okay. And Ariel is making up for you.
How quiet my presence. It's okay.
It's all right. Listen, if you get out of hand, I got a mute button here, so.
I have a bless button here.
A bless button?
A bless. I'll bless you. Like I bless my son. Terry Tessa Wesley being in light right now.
Okay. Push your bless button and bless everybody on the line. Go ahead.
All right. We're all good.
There we go. I hope this is not...
Hello?
What's that?
I was just and I had to say that tonight's topic was the perfect topic for me.
That's a good topic for you?
Yeah, I'm having like a real hard time with my roommate, so I think I might maybe get some insight.
All right. Now, I might be able to get Terry in. What is all that noise? Okay, here we go. We are muted.
This conference is being recorded.
This is December 9th, 2013. 7:06 p.m. in Arizona, 6 p.m. in California, and
9 p.m. on the East Coast and everywhere in between and everywhere around the world. And my name is Lynn Free, and Terry may not be on this call tonight. We have some deadlines. She's working on the deadlines. And before I forget to announce it, on Wednesday, we're going to be on a plane going to the East Coast. And let me mute all the ringtones. I'm doing Heise's job here. So on Wednesday, Heise and Joel are going to interview Jim McCarty. That's kind of been in the can waiting to happen. And Jim, of course, is Carla's husband and was there from the beginning in the original Raw sessions. And there's something that I thought was quite extraordinary that Jim and Carla used to do, which was she would channel Crow, and then Jim would just pick up where she left off, and he would be channeling Crow. But they never actually kept that up, and Jim kind of deferred to Carla. But if Joel asks a question, if Joel's on the line, or if he should ask some questions about that, because that's a very interesting phenomena to have a source kind of move from one person to another seemingly seamlessly. And that's a real, you know, I can't remember any channels that I've heard of that have ever done that. So that's going to be on Wednesday while we are on a plane flying. And
I'm right here, Wendy, on the way.
Pardon me?
That's the first I've heard of it, so I'm thrilled.
Yeah, so it's a very interesting topic to, you know, explore when you're talking to Jim and why he stopped doing it, you know? And did he ever do it by himself without Carla? Okay, did he ever just do the whole thing? I don't know the answers to those. I just know they switched back and forth. And Joel, your email is not working. Do you know that?
Yeah, that's what I said. My whole company website has disappeared off the face of the earth. They're trying to find it for last week on the server.
I mean, I'll make a suggestion to you, okay? Excuse me for canceling Joel on the internet right now, but this is important. You need to go to is your domain server, your name server, whoever gave your company name, whoever it's registered with, because that forwards to your website, and you should be able to independently forward your email and forward it to another. You can put the website up on another server and change the forwarding. You can do that, okay? If you're with GoDaddy, you have to learn how to do it, or you have to pay someone who knows internet stuff how to do it. But it's not a big job.
I have people that do it. They tell me everything is fine, but nobody can still see it. Everything is fine.
Well, you know what? They got to move it to another server, even temporarily, so that server fixes its job. But listen, let me go on with the topic of this evening. And I want to do this interactively, because, you know, we are kind of approaching this whole topic. What's the topic? The topic really started with the idea that this is a time where people are trying to get their hearts open, learn how to keep their hearts open, and graduate this realm. And, you know, when you first hear that, when I first heard it, I said, how do I know that's true? I mean, because a voice talking through somebody talks about graduation. First time I heard about it when I was writing The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And I knew David was Cayce, and I knew that they were wise. If you've read The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, and I highly, highly recommend if you have it, go read it. And because Because what's most extraordinary about it is the wisdom and the energy. And I've said this before, but I'll say it again. Terry was helping me edit that book. And we would go to coffee shops and we would read out loud the channelings in there. And when we did, this energy would come into the room. And it took me a while to say, I wonder if that's the raw group. And the whole room would turn into a really bright spot. We'd stay at a cafe, and we'd be there for hours and hours. And when we were leaving, the guy who owned the cafe, or the manager or whatever, didn't want us to leave. You know, usually they want to get you out of those places. So it's like we were just at the beginning stages, maybe taking baby steps, learning how available these guys are to be present with us. I mean, they are really available. They are waiting. They exist so that they can have a connection here, and that we are doing our best to create portals, examples of that energy being present. And you don't need channeling. You don't need psychic. I'm not channeling now, unless we're always channeling. Maybe we're always channeling, or you're not channeling. But you know, I'm just being me, and I've learned as long as I stay in the center of myself and talk from the center of myself, and I say, okay, you know, I'm open to you guys being present. Would you be present? There they are, every single time. Now, I had to learn that, okay? When I first happened, and I did a talk and it happened, I said, I wonder what will happen the second time. And it did, and the third time, and it did, and the fourth time. So they're waiting to make a connection. They are available. And if you haven't felt that connection, I recommend going through our archives and listening to as many calls as you can. Put them on little MP3 players. Listen to them on the way to work, because their energy is on there. And you may take a while to kick in, but it will kick in. And one of the topics tonight, is, you know, working on all edges. One is to tune into the higher realms. And the other is, how do you work it out in this realm? You can't just tune into the higher realms, or you end up a space case. And some of you have been space cases. I won't name names. I've been a space case. And so it's like getting a continuum where you can tune into the higher realms and also be grounded in this realm. And we want to cover it as widely as possible. And I'm good at this job because I've made every mistake this lifetime that you have made, probably, and probably then some. So I can see how I've worked through stuff. And by having worked through it this particular lifetime, it gives the wisdom to have the keys to tell you at least what I've learned, and you can try it. And I know many times I tell people things, and they work. I'm even surprised. I'm getting more confident because, you know, I have to tell you a story. A guy named Jeff. Jeff, hi, Jeff, if you're listening. He's in, I believe, Minneapolis. And 6 months ago, he sent me an email, or 8 months ago, and he drives a school bus in, like, the worst neighborhood in Minneapolis. And the people were getting fights. People were, you know, carrying knives. And I got that he was scared to drive his bus every day. And I told him, I said, Jeff, call in the light when no one's on the bus. And as people come into the bus, just surround them in light and bless them. And he sent me an email a couple of days ago. He said, when it worked, I got the most peaceful bus in Minneapolis. And you see,
this is designed to work in a simple way for everyone. Now, it would be very easy to look at, to be on a bus like that and watch people come in, and they look really tough. Maybe they're in gangs. Who knows what they do? But it's like to judge them. You see, it's like these are the lowlifes. These are the people my parents warned me about. And you think all those thoughts. And, you know, as you think them, they are responding. They feel we're all psychic. At some level, we're all psychic. And if you're judging someone, they feel it. Just like if somebody's judging you, you feel it. And oftentimes, this is happens at a subtle level. You don't sit there and say, somebody's judging me. You just have a reaction in your body. You have a reaction, and you feel contracted, and you don't feel safe, and you want to get out of the room. And all of us have gone through that. You know, maybe you have something that you have shame over, and if anyone looks at that thing, you go, oh, they saw it, you know, whatever it is, you know. People used to have that about being gay, and people used to judge people for being gay or being black or being broke, you know, or being rich. I used to judge people for being rich. I used to judge people for being authority figures. Man, I hated authority figures when I was young. And, you know, it took me a long time to figure out how to work with that, because there was such a thing as authority in this realm. And you had to respect authority within its own domain. That's what I learned. You know, Jesus said it. He says, give unto Caesar's that which is Caesar's, which meant pay your taxes. Because it would be like if you walk into someone's house. We've had this conversation about some people on this call who come in and want to take the call over and say, where's my free will? And I say, no, that's not where your free will is when you picked up the phone and came into the call. And that doesn't mean your free will allows you to do whatever you want on this call, because I have a responsibility to make this call valuable to people, and I know I can do it. And if somebody else can add value, they're welcome to be a guest. But if they're just going to not add value, if they're going to add something else, then they're not welcome. And it's my living room, so to speak. And it's your living room, when you have a living room, to set the criteria for what's acceptable and what's not. So, you know, being non-judgmental, allowing people to be themselves, does not mean that you have to allow people to walk all over you. You have to have your boundaries set. And you remove your boundaries when it's safe to remove your boundaries, not before. And by not judging people, by allowing them to be, it gives the space where they can be around you. And even if they're doing what might be negative things, even if they're service to self, and you know, usually everyone is constantly reinventing themselves moment to moment. So what happens is if you reinvent yourself so that you are not being, how would we say it? If you are not, you're truly not judging someone and they're in your space, then you give them more space. But, you know, not judging them doesn't mean you should never get angry. It doesn't mean you shouldn't define your energy. It It doesn't mean you have to be sappingly sweet. It means that judgment is when people, you make people wrong. They're wrong for doing something. You shouldn't be service to self. You shouldn't drop trash on the street. You shouldn't yell at your wife. And I mean, this is a tricky thing. The word should is always the judgment in there. You know, I will tell you that you will never stop somebody from yelling at their wife by telling them they shouldn't do it, okay? You have to influence somebody. You have to get them to trust you. You have to win them over. They have to win themselves over. You have to create strength in your space so they respect you. And once they respect you, they will listen to you. But not a moment before that. If it's, you know, then you can counsel people. And so this is a trick, because we live in a world of mirrors. And when somebody judges you, you feel it. And when you judge someone else, they feel it. And that, you know, when people get to the deep end, they get to the hostility of, like, the Arabs and the Palestinians, of the Jews and the Israelis and the Palestinians, where, or religious things, where there's the Islam and there's the Christians, right? And suddenly, this, all this stuff which is supposed to bring people into a state of harmony and oneness and compassion, they're at odds with each other. And you don't want to get in the middle of that. I mean, if you do, you better be really masterful, because they're going to be trying to make you take sides. And then, here's a good one. If there's a relationship, man and a woman, and you're friends with both of them, and then they have a big fight, they're all calling me saying, you know what she did to me? You know what he did to me? You know what she did to me? You know what he did to me? And don't take sides, because 2 days later they'll be sleeping together, and neither of them will like you anymore, because you got caught in the separation, you know? Because they want somebody to justify their position. They want you, this is really common, this is like gossip, it can be so detrimental, because people are trying to get someone else to help them justify a position and say, he's really wrong, he really hurt me, he did this, he did that, he did the other thing. And they want you to say, yeah, you're right, he did all those things. Now, he may have done all those things. See, this is the trick. Maybe that person just needs nurturing, they need healing, they got abused in a relationship. Maybe they chose that relationship because they needed to get abused. You ever notice, oftentimes people are in a relationship, and when they withdraw from it, they go to the next relationship, and it's actually the same relationship again. They're getting abused again. Or they're abusing the other person. And sometimes women can abuse men just by denying them love. You know, if a woman is denying a man love and she's in a close relationship with him, he's going to get angry. His energy's going to get backed up. And she's going to say, I'm not responsible for you. Take care of yourself. Well, he could, you know. Then he'll go out in the motel and invite someone to join him. And the woman will go, you cheated. What did you do that for? Well, I was taking care of myself. Listen, men cannot help being who they are. It's an animal nature that everyone has it to some extent. You know, some people more or less. But that's part of your human side. And you can't get over your animal nature. You have to work with it. You have to work with that part of yourself. You can't just say, go away. And some people think they can. They think when they can get over it, then they're truly spiritual, because then they're in their higher self. But you're a broadband being. As long as you have a body, and you're in a body, your body has energies from the bottom of your spine, through your groin, through your stomach, through your chest, through your neck, through your head, up to the universe. And every one of those areas has its own need of connection. And it's not been my experience that you suddenly go into the higher realms and the lower realms take care of themselves. Not been my experience. But my experience that each level has to be handled in of itself and in a manner which is respectful to other people, that doesn't hurt other people, that doesn't manipulate other people, that doesn't take advantage of other people. And you know what? People have lower level needs, and it's like if you're one of those people that has gotten over them, and you really don't need to deal with that anymore, then that's fine. Maybe you came in this realm, getting over them. Like you came in from some angelic realm, and you don't have your lower level energies stay balanced, and it doesn't need anything. But most people, that's not true. They have to deal with their lower natures. And this is where we start butting heads with each other. This is where, how can I say it? People get into tremendous fights, disagreements, because who am I to take care of your lower nature? And who am I to take care of your lower nature? Well, this is where, are you your brother's keeper or not? Being your brother's keeper means handling, if you've chosen to let somebody into your space, I mean, you can't do this with everybody. You can't, I mean, if you're going to take care of everyone's lower nature, all you do is spend money for all the people that are poor on the street. And you can't do that without being untrue to yourself. So, but, you know, there are people that make agreements to take care of each other's needs. That sometimes it's called jobs. Sometimes it's called marriage. Sometimes it's called family, you know. And it's an important part of life to learn how to do that, at the same time accepting people for where they're at. And if you cannot accept somebody, if whatever you do, it's probably time to leave that relationship, you know? But just be sure that it's not part you that is causing that to happen. Be sure that it's all them. Because sometimes it is all them. And sometimes, no matter what you do, no matter where you go, no matter where you move to in your consciousness, that person is going to suck you in and try to trap you into something. And at that point, just ignore them. Even if they're in your space, say, I'm not talking today. You know, I do that. Somebody says hello to me, I say, I'm not talking today. Don't even say hello. And that allows me to keep my boundary, because even saying hello, people pull you into their field. And it's okay if it's okay. But if it's not okay, then make your space. Of course, it's a problem if it's your wife or your husband, because those are people that you've come together with, made an agreement with, to handle each other's needs. And if you've made that agreement, you have to figure out how to do it so both of you are happy, because you're responsible. You've taken on a responsibility for each other. You've chosen it by getting married. And why be married and have a mutual responsibility and not find a way to do it? Because needs are not bad. They're part of your nature. And it's like people, there's something that one of the reasons people get judged is because other people look at the way they have needs and they find fault with them because, you know, it's interesting because sometimes people go through periods where their needs are being met. They have a good relationship, they have a good marriage, they have a good job, and oftentimes when their needs are being met, they have a certain amount of energy running through them. And what do? They get arrogant. They feel like better than someone else. And it's like everyone, they're going to have to get beaten down once again, this life or some other life, so that when they get into a good position, a position of power, a position of financial stability, a position of a good relationship, they can hold the energy for that in a neutral way and not to get arrogant, okay? Arrogance is a negative expression. It's an expression of like, I'm better than you. If you're on the path of this group or the people that are listening to our calls, it's antithetical to the law of one, because, you know, some people, moment to moment, are positioning with each other is always changing, and sometimes you're gonna have, a good life. Things are all gonna be great. Other times you're gonna have a difficult life. There's a certain luck of a draw, and I know at one point they told me that I had come in for a number of lifetimes and died young. I was an orphan. Terry was an orphan. You know, it's like I didn't fit. I'm sure, but you know, the fact that you come in from a higher realm and you get here and you don't fit doesn't make things work easier here. It means that you can have more pain than somebody that's here and that has, you know, built a solid foundation in this realm. So there's no arrogance. There's no superiority. This is where humility comes in. I said I was going to open it up to talk about things. We're talking about judgments and how to deal with people in your life or who were in your life that you felt were judging you, and how you're stuck with a judgment you don't know how to get rid of, or how, if you've worked it out, how you worked it out. If you can say, I used to be this way, but keep it on this topic, if you don't mind. And maybe no one will say anything, it's okay. And if I unmute everybody, let's see how loud we all are. Hang on. Okay. Uh-oh, pretty loud. This is somebody in Breckenridge, Pennsylvania. Who's in Breckenridge, Pennsylvania? They won't confess. It's okay. Who has a tale to tell about feeling judged, getting over being judged, or judging someone else? Hang on. If you have a tale to tell, do *6. Hello. Let me ask a question. How many of you, you can all be talk as a group, how many of you have had the experience of feeling that people in your environment were judging you and have contracted you? How many have had that experience?
I have.
Sure.
You do, yeah.
And judged other people, too, for that matter.
Yeah. Now, how many of you self that you were judging another person and contracting them.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm. Absolutely.
Yeah. And you know, you could be, you know, an easy way to get around judgment and say they're okay. And I know people that do this. I'm amazed they can do it. Is when you divide the world into good and evil, then you can say, well, they're just evil, and it's okay to judge them, right? You know, that's duality. This is still duality. You can, you know, whatever you create, you will live in that world. So if you create a world of good and evil, then that's the world you're going to get, you know? And if you create a world of non-duality, then you'll start to create that world. But, you know, to move into non-duality, to move to that, takes quite a bit of work. It takes quite a bit of reflection. It takes quite a bit of high intention, because the world around you is duality. It is duality. And people are all projecting all of this stuff all the time. You're around people that make judgments. And how do you squeak through it? How do you squeak through it? I'll give you an example. And that is that I am going back to Philadelphia because there's a family gathering, and Terry's coming with me. And if there's a family gathering, it's related to my sister, and I want to go. And it's like some kind of ceremony a year after she dies, and I'll probably talk at it. And, you know... I have a track record with my sister. When she got married to her husband, I was at the wedding, and I was a vagabond hippie with hair halfway down my back, and here was this little band playing for the reception. And I said, I want to play music. And then I went up to all our relatives, and I paraded myself as this terrible hippie, you know? And they liked it. I think they liked it. At least they... On the surface, they liked it. You know, I was strong enough that they learned how to accept me, even though, you know how they would think. They would think, well, everybody in California goes through things. Barry's going through a phase, and it's okay. I guess I was going through a phase, because I'm not doing that now. I'm probably worse, okay? At least I had a peer group then. but it was like, oftentimes when I was growing up around my family, in my family, I didn't understand why I was there. I knew I was different. I knew that I wasn't interested in so many of the things they thought were important. And I always used to look at bulletin boards. I kept looking. I said, one day I'm going to find something in this bulletin board, what I'm looking for. And when I started getting dream messages, those of you who have read the Creator God book, and if you haven't, you should. It's got a huge amount of stuff in it that is helps connect you to the higher realms. I started getting dream messages. They said, you finally found the job you won't get tired of. And I said, I wonder what they mean by that. I didn't even, this was like, you know, probably in 2003. And I didn't know what it was. Doing. I mean, I felt like all the things I thought I wanted to do, I didn't do, and that maybe I was finished with my life. And then they said, you finally found the job you won't get tired of. And then at the very beginning stages with David Wilcock. And I was one of the rare few people that had a reading with him when he was doing readings. And the reading had another very cryptic remark in it. It said, you have unplayed coins in the jukebox of your soul. What a great line. Unplayed coins in the jukebox of your soul. And what do they mean by that? I mean, I knew there was something in me that was trying to come out, was trying to share itself, that could see things at a deep level, but no one was interested. Many of you are like that. You have deep perceptions, and you have deep love, and there's no one there to receive it, except for we are receiving it here on this call. And those of you that will stay hooked in to what we're doing, and I know we're going to move into another phase fairly soon where there's loads of new people coming into this call. We have anchored a very strong energy, and you have done it. You are part of the anchoring. This is a co-creative act, and energetically, that you have been teaching me. You have been teaching me how to do this. I didn't have a clue, nor did I necessarily want to do it, okay? I mean, it wouldn't be, if I was thinking of things to do, I wouldn't say, this is what I want to do. But I started to see how so many people were responding, like Jeff, who just been coming to our calls and just a few words from me, and suddenly he's holding the energy for his school bus. And all those people that are getting onto the school bus are feeling that energy, and they take it home with them. And this is how this realm has to evolve, through the energetic interchange that we all have with each other and with the higher realms. And it's not easy, particularly when you have a lot of potential. And in order to manifest that potential, you are definitely going to bring up other people's judgments. Definitely, if you're coming from, even if you're coming from a beyond duality place, you are going to bring up judgments from other people. And are you strong enough to handle that? Are you willing to handle that? Because that's what's required. You can't do high spiritual work without getting a certain amount of judgment. And it's like learning to let it roll off your back. Not easy, because we all want to be seen in a good way. We all want people to like us. We all want to be loved. And when you're being judged, it's just the opposite of that. And you can't always work it out with the other person. There was someone on the line that was saying how he and his roommate are doing that. I would say something you can try in that situation when you're in a living environment and you're feeling judged in that living environment. Go into a private place, shut the door, call in the light energy, learn to tune yourself into the higher realms, and just keep surrounding that person in that energy. So when you come out of that room, you're not contracted. If you're in their energy, it's going to contract you. And when you're not contracted, this is a psychic thing, they feel it. Don't let them contract you. Don't watch what contracts you. Watch and say, listen, I'm not talking to you for about 3 hours. I'm going through something. And don't talk to them. If talking to them makes you feel contracted, you've got to learn to hold the space of completeness, no matter what that person around you is doing. And you can't judge them for doing it, or else you go back right into contraction. You can observe them. You can see through that. And don't let them hook you. Don't get caught up in them. Don't let them control you. Ignore them. It's okay to be angry, by the way. Anger is a tool that has to be used very carefully, because anger creates hurt. Anger does create contraction for another person. But if somebody is constantly moving into your boundaries, and that no matter what you say, they don't respect your boundaries, then you have every right to say, back off. Back off. I need my space. And you can say it as strongly as you need to, so you get the person to respect you. And if it's untenable, you just have to separate yourself from the person. Say, I'm moving. This isn't working. But oftentimes, it's not untenable. It's a challenge for you to learn the lessons of how to control your boundaries. It is you who is relinquishing your boundaries and letting someone else's energy come in a way that contracts you. So you have to hold your boundaries and hold your space until the person around you, until the spirit naturally lets it flow, dissolve. And, Terry is good at that. She's getting better and better. She's very sensitive. She is really sensitive. And she's getting stronger, because when you're really sensitive, sometimes you don't want to open up to anybody because everybody hurts you. And it's very hard to keep your boundaries up because you think they're not going to like you when you're that kind of, when you're firm with them in that way. So this is an exercise in spiritual evolution, an exercise that when it's upon you, you have no choice but to deal with it. And the very thing around you that's either judging you or that you're judging is the very thing that, by moving past it, moving into beyond duality, is going to strengthen your own spiritual muscle, strengthen it. And it's like challenges. Every challenge is like a resistance to push against. It's like doing push-ups or, doing weightlifting. You start off with 5 pounds, you can do it easily. And then you have 20 pounds, and it gets harder. And then you have 40 pounds, and it's really tough. And, every obstacle like this is a challenge for you to weight lift and push up and expand through it. And do not let it. Learn how to flow around it. And learn how to not care what other people think. Very important, because if you care what other people think about you, and this is a hard one because it's so ingrained, but if you care, then you're going to be controlled by wanting to please them. And wanting to please them is a way of contracting into their space. Why do you want to please them? Why do you need them to say nice things about you? Who cares? It has to come around naturally. They may like you. They may say nice things about you, but not because you capitulated, not because you surrendered to their demands. You have to flow around them. You also can't resist their demands, because resistance is the same as surrendering. It's kind of like, give you an example. You know, a friend of mine, somebody I've known for years, she had her heart broken. She was married, she left her husband, and she was so hurt. And men became bad, and she was scared to open up to a man. And she needed to feel loved. She was denying her thing about being loved because she was scared to open up. And, you know, when you go into a relationship with someone else, there is always an area of incubation of, what do they call it? Forget the word. But where you're with somebody, courtship, that's the word, where you're with somebody and you're learning about them and they're learning about you. And I think one of the areas is this is an area of great experimentation. And this is my view on this. Somebody else might have a different view. But there's definitely people, particularly women, they want a commitment from a guy, okay? And I think commitment is great. But the commitment should come from a series of experiences that make you feel good and make them feel good. And if you keep making someone else feel good, then chances are they're going to keep coming back and they'll commit. You guys keep coming back. You know, you don't have to commit to anything here. I show up, you show up, we show up, and every call is a totally free will, freewheeling event that has absolutely no control pattern from anyone's point of view. And so, you know what? It turns into kind of a commitment. It makes me feel committed to you and to however we can help each other. And it makes you, some of you, feel committed to coming back. And some of you have made donations. You know, you should make donations if we're touching you, because rather than charging for something, the donation is an expression of gratitude. Donations.intelligent-infinity.com, as long as I'm pitching donations, is an expression of gratitude that builds the energy, that builds the connection. It's like you're supporting something outside of yourself that is supporting you inside of yourself, even wherever you are. You know, if everyone in our group gave us $1 a month, we would be at a high degree of functionality. We don't, you know, it's what happens is a few people donate. But it's a way of expressing gratitude, building energy, and it comes back to you in the reward of the law of one, connecting and supporting that which is you. I mean, we're all children working together, and we made a big commitment to do this, and we didn't know what we were doing. We learned how to do it, and it takes that to make this world shift. Somebody's got to stick their foot out and take it. Every one of you listening to this call right now has more potential than you have exhibited. Every one of you has unplayed coins in the jukebox of your soul. Unplayed coins in the jukebox of your soul. And part of learning how to manifest is learning how to deal with other people's judgments. Because it is very hard to play those coins when you're afraid someone might not like the song. On that note, it's 7:57, and come back next week on Wednesday, and Hise and Joel are going to interview Jim McCarty, which I'm sure is going to be really interesting. And on Sunday, we're going to be at the cemetery service. My sister will probably be there. Terry will probably be talking to her to see what happened. But her husband, not in the physical, though, and her husband will be there. And so we'll probably have a seat of the pants call. Maybe Carla and Hise will do it. And thank you. I thank you so much for being here. And I really mean it when I say that by being here, you have made a huge, huge difference to me, to Terry, and to the Elohim, because we are learning something from nothing. And there's no, we're building our foundation from nowhere, and we're doing it. And so my thanks to all of you, and we'll see you next time.